Time to get the weekly view from the middle. Keep up with his work for USA Today online, usatoday.com, on Twitter. The handle is at George Schroeder. He's our Wednesday leadoff guy. George, how are things with you, sir?
Man, life is good. How are you?
Awesome. The announcement that Brent Musburger retires, his final broadcast 6 days. I mean, I'm actually old enough where I think of Brent on the old CBS pregame with Phyllis George and Jimmy the Greek. And obviously, yeah, he's become a major college voice, football and basketball. But, you know, your age, your vantage point, when you think about his career, kind of what stands out?
Well, of course, I'm so much younger than you that it really, hey, you know, I have a different perspective. You know, basically everyone listening is younger than you, Steve.
Thank you.
Yeah, anything I can do.
Well, now, as you know, George, I was there when Marconi came up with this invention, so it's the reason I've stayed in the industry.
Right, right. I mean, you immediately thought, I could talk about sports, and people would listen to me from beyond the room. But no, listen, I all kidding aside, it's... You know, Brent Musburger had been shunted aside over the last couple of years. You know, it's pretty clear he didn't want to be pushed off sort of main ESPN and put on the ESPN, the SEC network, which, you know, they sort of tried to make that out to be like a good thing for the network. And I suppose it was for that conference network, but it was also it was clearly a demotion for him. So he had already been sort of pushed aside, but I still loved watching games that he was calling because it seemed to make them, and I tweeted this earlier today, a college football game that he called, and I was never much on Brenton hoops, but college football game he called felt bigger to me. And it wasn't just a couple of years ago that he was calling, you know, title games and things like that. So, yeah, he called the Sugar Bowl, and I thought it was interesting that in the press release they made a point of saying he's not retiring because of the comments he made that, you know, the sort of controversial comments he made about Joe Mixon during the game, on a couple different times during the game. When you have to make that kind of a statement, it sort of leads everybody down the path of, well, why are you retiring so abruptly 6 days? The announcement is 6 days before you retire, and it's in mid-season. And I don't know the answer to that, but I'm going to miss him. Let me just put it that way. I loved his quirks. It's pretty clear sometimes that he paid an especial amount of attention to the betting lines. It's pretty clear. But, you know, and I'm not a gambler. I know people that are on this program might occasionally pay attention to those betting lines. But I enjoyed the way he did it. And our friends in the desert and things like that, when he talked about that stuff, it was just fun. So I'm going to miss him. Long, rambling answer, but I hate to see him go.
Yeah, well, you had to cover half a century, so you're entitled to a long
answer. I think he lost a little bit of his fastball. I'll say that, but it was still a lot of fun to watch, listen to.
Yeah, if you ever go through, I saw an article about some of the games he called, and it's like wow, 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 wow. So I was kind of surprised. Some of the people I follow on Twitter, there seemed to be an RIP Poinsettia Bowl. it's not bad enough the city of San Diego loses the Chargers, but I was just reading that with the naval base there, if Navy wasn't in the game, attendance was like 9,000 or 10,000 people left. George, is this just part of the deal with so many bowls, the coming or going, or is there anything specific to this one going away?
Well, I think it's a little bit of all of the above. It's pretty clear that bowl games in the playoff era, that attendance is going to be a problem. You know, and sponsorships are going to be a problem. Now, they had the San Diego County Credit Union sponsorship, but the Holiday Bowl, which is the bigger of the two bowls put on by the, I guess it's the Holiday Bowl committee, but the San Diego organizers, did not have a sponsor, if I remember right. You know, the Independence Bowl just had Camping World, which is, you know, a fairly large... it's kind of like Cabela's in some ways, but you know, Camping World bailed on their sponsorship 2 years into a 4-year deal. They had a look in the contract and they just bailed on that. And so bowl games are struggling right now, bowl games below the New Year's Six and below some of the other fairly large bowls. And so if you're San Diego and you've got these other issues going on, including loss of the Chargers, dubious future of Qualcomm Stadium, and the fact that it's the second bowl, it's sort of an add-on bowl, and it's clearly the lesser bowl compared to the Holiday Bowl, then I see why sort of that's the one that's easier to sort of get rid of. I don't think this means there's going to be a wholesale dropping of bowl games, because what's different here is it's the second of two bowls put on by the same organizing group. So they're not sort of shuttering their own existence. They're just sort of getting rid of one of the two bowls. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's not like a .com company all of a sudden is out of business.
Well, and it's not like, let's see. I mean, if you want one that could happen, it would be like if the Fiesta Bowl, which also runs Motel 6 Cactus Bowl, if the Fiesta Bowl decided, why are we in the business of doing two bowl games, they might get rid of the Cactus Bowl one day. I could see that. But if you're in a city where they only have one bowl game, it's less likely that that organization decides, hey, let's just shut ourselves down. So I don't know that we're going to see sort of the wholesale, you know, there were 39 bowl games, 40 bowl games this year, plus the championship game, so that doesn't really count as an extra bowl game because it's the same, you know, it's coming out of the bowl game pool in terms of participants. So now there's 39. I don't think we're going to see 35 next year. I don't think you're going to see others. But, you know, hey, maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe there'll be three or four that go away. I don't think so, though.
All right. A world without a Cactus Bowl. I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole. We continue with George Schroeder, USA Today. Seems like we talk every other week about Michigan since Harbaugh became coach. And now they've got this planned trip to Rome. It's after finals. It's in April. It's three practices. They made a point of emphasis. They're going to drink in the culture of such an historic city. Is this over the top? Is it just Harbaugh? Or, hey, this is just an unbelievable opportunity for all who get to take this trip.
The way you ask these questions, I keep having to say all of the above. Why don't you ask me more? I can say none of the above. You're completely wrong.
Okay.
All of the above. It's Harbaugh. It's staying a step ahead of the NCAA because they've kind of outlawed the spring break stuff. So he's doing it, you know, where it's actually at the end of a semester and it's more of a study abroad type of thing. Or I guess what it's similar to is the basketball trips we see taken in August, you know, sometimes in July or August over the summer months where
right.
The teams will play the exhibitions against, you know, the Spanish three different club Spanish teams while they're over in Madrid or something like that. It's similar to that. It's sort of an all-of-the-above thing. And I got to tell you, though, it keeps them in the headlines. It keeps him in the headlines. He loves sort of, you know, coming up with that sort of pizzazz and sizzle thing and just sort of I can just see him chortling over the whole deal. And then if I'm a guy who's thinking to myself, do I want to go play for Michigan or, you know, team A, B, or C, I'm thinking to myself, these guys do some kind of cool, quirky stuff. This might be a place to go. I mean, and so it's clearly about recruiting.
I know you're not a big fan of the College Football Selection Committee week-by-week show.
How would you know that?
I think certain things do get made clear, and there aren't multiple choices.
Right.
But especially the week-by-week rankings. And now the basketball folks say it's a one-time deal, February 11th. They're going to reveal the current top four seeds in each region. Aside from the obvious, they'll make us watch and talk and write about it. What's your take on this kind of new wrinkle?
Oh, whatever. They're trying to listen. I mean, it's okay. Here's the problem with the basketball season. Look, the football season doesn't actually need the rankings to drive the regular season interest. They don't need that. I mean, it enhances it for sure. I think it injects an unnecessary amount of controversy into it and sometimes confusion. I'm talking about the playoff top 25, those initial rankings, and then the four or five after that. But you don't really need it. We all know how important the college football regular season is, and it's a big, big deal. For basketball, this feels like they are trying to inject some interest in a regular season that most people don't pay a ton of attention to. Quite frankly, look, Oregon fans are obviously paying attention to how the Ducks are doing right now. Everybody's going to want to know, is that a one seed or a two seed? Where are they going to fall on that line in early, you know, or whatever, mid-February, early? It's February 11th, right?
Right, right.
That what
right.
you said?
Yeah.
They're all going to want to know that, right? But by and large, we all know that we're just sort of watching and waiting and seeing, you know, where your team's going to land in the tournament and that a loss here or there doesn't kill you. You know, the other night, teams ranked 1, 2, and 4, I think, in the AP poll went down. And I thought to myself, so what? Now, maybe if you're an Oregon fan, you're like, I want them to move up in the rankings. That makes some sense, right? I get that. You'd be like, all right, that's great. But it doesn't matter. let's place a bet right now as to how many of those three teams are going to finish in the one seed or the two seed, one of those two lines. Not February 11th, but when it really matters. And I bet you very possibly that Villanova, Kansas, and Kentucky are all going to be on the one or the two line. So what does it matter? And so they're just trying to inject, I think, some more meaning, excitement, drive some more interest in the regular season. That's what I think they're doing. So does it harm anything? No. Does it mean anything? No. I guess if it makes us pay attention a little more, good for them.
Yeah, and, you know, there'll be some people who are writing articles about how unjust it is and East Coast bias and all that fun stuff.
Well, listen, the Pac-12 has got three teams that I think are really, really good. And then when you toss the Zags in there, too, there's four potential one seeds sitting out there. And obviously, I think only one of them is going to get there. But there's four teams that are four schools that probably at least have an outside shot of being a one seed by the time it's all said and done. And so they'll all be paying attention February 11th. But, you know, the problem with that on February 11th is there's still the heart of a conference season in every conference to be played, plus conference tournament.
No, that's it's a unique aspect. It's value. All right, let's you mentioned the West Coast. Let's bring it out here. Over a period of about a week, the Oregon football program had three players in the hospital for multiple night stays after a workout. Then the new assistant got popped for a Dewey with another assistant in the car. You hear the term optics used a lot. From a basic point of view, George, how horrible of a look is this for Willie Taggart's new program?
Yeah, terrible. You know, look, none of those situations you ever want to happen, obviously. And first of all, let's say glad the three players are going to be fine.
Yep.
You know, and I thought the school took the right action, both in suspending the new strength coach for a month without pay, which is pretty that's pretty intense, and in instituting the or starting the process towards firing David Reeves, the co-offensive coordinator. I think. I don't know where that came from. I read where the Oregon president had a hand in discipline, in both sets of discipline. That I don't care. I'm just saying kudos to the school for doing the right thing in both cases, which I don't think gets said enough. That said, it is a terrible look. And I think the people that have said, hey, the honeymoon's over for Willie Taggart, I think they're right. Now, that doesn't mean that that's the way it has to stay. It just means this is a terrible, bad period. And, you know, who knows? Who knows what its impact is on recruiting, you know, a week from today. There's no way to know that. I'm not sure we'll ever really know. Here's what I would say that is, if 8-9 months from now you and I are talking on this program and there's been nothing else of similar magnitude, these will just be blips. And we'll be talking about, wow, they're about to kick this thing off. And that'll be great. If there's more stuff that kind of happens like this, then all of a sudden it becomes the kind of thing that can drag a program down. And this is a program that is trying to come up and rebound, and I'm not sure you can handle that.
Talking with George Schroeder, USA Today Sports. The details of what happened with David Reeves, not just the Dewey refusing a breathalyzer, reckless driving, another coach in the car. And you hear from those, you know, they made a mistake. And I'm like, no, obviously it is a mistake. But when you're supposed to be setting an example as a coach and a teacher for 100 young men or so, the severity of the punishment has to match that, right?
Right, and that's why I didn't have a problem with that, because you're supposed to be an example. And how often do we write or report on, these young men or these athletes who get themselves into trouble over something very similar, sometimes the exact same offense, and we tut-tut over it. And I'm not saying we're wrong in doing that. I mean, it's a terrible mistake to be made by a 19-year-old or a 20-year-old or a 21-year-old who's legal, whatever. But we report on that all the time. When it's a coach, when it's an authority figure, then to me it's way, way more severe. I'm glad that no one was injured. I'm glad that, always glad when that's the case. But I had zero problem with what Oregon did. I didn't think that, hey, you should suspend him, or, hey, he should get a second chance or whatever else. First of all, there's some other things in David Reeves' past that aren't necessarily related to that kind of offense, but that basically he's already sort of been, at least sort of alleged to have some sort of iffy NCAA thing.
Yep.
You know, nothing's really been, you know, stuck to him, but, you know, he's already sort of had some second chances. Now, this is a different kind of situation, but I don't care if you're squeaky clean. In this situation, as a college football coach, if you get a DUI and it takes a bunch of police cars to slow you down and stop you, and then you get arrested, then I don't have if the school decides to fire you, I'm more than okay with that. If they decide not to, then maybe we'll talk about that. But I think the punishment fits the allegations at this point.
All right. Well, George, I always say this, but it just seems that, oh my goodness, what are we going to have to talk about in a week?
There's always something to talk about. We can talk all sorts of stuff. But there's always something to talk about. Let's just hope that in a week, we're talking about that fantastic recruiting class that Oregon brought in versus, you know, something like what we just talked about. But there's always stuff to talk about. I mean, that's the thing. College sports never goes away. It really doesn't. That's the one thing I figured out about this job that I've got right now.
Well, and next week, of course, we'll be looking forward to your analysis of the lead up to, will Tom Brady get a fifth Super Bowl ring?
yes, the answer is unfortunately probably so.
All right. Well, you have a great week. Appreciate the time and insight as always, and we'll catch up with you next Wednesday.
All right. But let me just say this. Go Falcons.
Okay. I gotcha.
All right.
Nice.
See ya.
No go Sluggers. We got to go Falcons.